The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report, a sunny Monday here in Southern California. Not as sunny back in New England, where the Patriots blew a 9-point lead with less than 7 minutes to go. I guess we'll call it the bowl. I gotta bleep it, but I think the enduring memory of that game will be the BS chant. On the line, Cousin Sal. You did not see the game because you were writing for your cousin Jimmy at the Emmys. Did you watch the highlights at least?
I didn't see the game. I saw the highlights. And let me just say, if you're going to continue on with language like that, I'll just hang up. I don't know what...
Sorry about that.
Yeah. We're on a clean show here, don't we?
Just for the record, the game is over on 3rd and 16 when the terrible long pass to Torrey Smith that had no chance, followed by the illegal contact call on Devin McCourty that NBC tried to replay to even, like, maybe be in the ballpark of justifying. And Collinsworth and Michaels were like, I don't know what that – I mean, that basically won the game for the Ravens eventually, play right there.
Wacko's good for that. I mean, don't we always say that's the thing? He could throw deep but underthrow guys, and he's smart at doing that. But, yeah, I think they'll go to the tables and solve this thing by Wednesday, wouldn't you say? I mean, that was the blackest of black eyes on this whole replacement.
By the way, I don't want to make excuses for the Patriots, because inexcusable not to finish the game, especially like they got the ball back with 4 minutes left, and really at that point all you need is one first down and you punt and the game's basically over. The clock management was atrocious. Mm-hmm. They got the first down and still the Ravens ended up getting the ball back on the other side of the 2 minute. It was an inexplicable game plan.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, Gronkowski is now a decoy. What happened to Rob Gronkowski?
Yeah,
they threw to him twice last night.
That doesn't make any sense. And that Woodhead is getting it so close down low. And, everything is way out of sync. And it can't be because of Aaron Hernandez, is it?
I don't know. I mean, Julian Edelman was almost cut last year and ended up playing more D-back than wide receiver and is now the focal point of the offense. The Patriots lost two terrible games in a row. And arguably those were two of the worst 10 losses regular season of the Belichick-Brady era and probably the last 15 years of just games, just giving away games. You know, the Ravens had no business winning that game. It's just no business. Plus, the Pats were up 13-0.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like, I do feel like, I mean, you know, the Ravens got basically every call the last 3 minutes. I do feel like the refs, like, what were the odds they were going to call that field goal no good that went over the upright? I don't know whether it was good or not good, but they're not calling that no good because they're going to get killed on the way out of the stadium.
Well, why isn't that reviewable, first of all? Like, we had to listen to the worst part of that whole thing is having to listen to Carolla. It validates this whole thing about extending the goalpost to infinity.
Right.
Being an obstructed view.
The lasers. He wants lasers. Yeah. He wants cameras on top of the... I mean, he wants all kinds of
things. I mean, he and his buddy Ray would be willing to extend... Like, they'd go to all 32 stadiums and do it themselves if they had to. But it certainly did make a case for it, and it looked like it would have hit the post for sure. But why isn't that reviewable? You have every touchdown is reviewable. If the guy's, like, 3 yards past the break in the plane, they review it. But why can't they look at that?
And where are the cameras? NBC has like 58,000 cameras at these games, but somehow no angle on whether the field goal was good or not.
I know.
And no technology to be able to figure this out.
Right. But it was going to hit the post. It was going to hit it and either go in or bounce back out. And Belichick probably played the hardest defense of any Patriot yesterday.
Yeah.
Almost tackling the referee. But I do have to say, I believe in corporal punishment when it comes to bad officiating. You know,
corporal punishment. Interesting.
Corporal punishment. Yeah, I think you have to teach them a lesson and put them over your knee every once in a while.
Well, I think if Darius Heyward Bey had been more seriously injured, and he already is injured, I mean, We don't even know when we'll see him again. But I mean, if he's in a coma right now or something,
This
ref thing's over because they didn't even call a penalty in that play. But you know, it was weird. Collinsworth, you didn't see the game. And I actually had the audio off for the first three quarters because I was watching your cousin. I had the double TV thing going.
I think you're lying, but I'll let you get away.
No, I really did. I watched the entire Emmys.
All right.
It was the biggest night of his career. I wasn't going to not watch it.
I know, but you already know Collinsworth's play-by-play and my.
No, in the fourth quarter, and then afterwards when they go back to them to kind of sum up the game,
right.
And Collinsworth's killing the refs, but then he's like. You know, but at the same time, you know, I kind of liked having the players decide the game. It reminded me of when I played, and I got the feeling he kind of liked it. He liked the lawlessness.
He does, huh?
I think he does. I think the old players kind of enjoy the lawlessness secretly.
Here's the thing. Even when they get the calls right, there's such a lack of confidence in their stepping
they're
up.
They're terrified.
And forget about how much time is added to it. It's like.
Yeah.
It's like they're getting it right by accident. You just don't feel secure in this. And it's like, you know, all right, I was looking at this. Like, yesterday, out of 16 games, 12 spreads were 4 points or less. Right, that means these games are going to be very close. And they're going to be decided. If a referee makes a bad call, that's going to cost one of these teams that is supposed to be playing a tight-knit game. But why do you want to do this? Why do you want to do this if you're the league? So what? All right, you give in. If I know it's a matter of principle, so give in to the refs, the real refs. Make a bad business decision and add a dollar to each jersey or whatever, and make that money back somehow, some other way. I mean, it's too many camera angles, it's too many cameras, too much to look at, too much scrutiny, and it's really, you know, it's a laughing stock at this point.
A reader from Iowa City named Eric Reynolds emailed me a great idea. Here's what he said. If Mitt Romney is serious about winning the presidential election, he should just cover the difference to get the real NFL referees back.
Oh, that's really good.
Now, think about that for a second. Mitt Romney just interjects himself in this whole thing and says, I have the $50 million right here.
Wow.
I'll pay out of my own pocket because I can't live in a world where football is screwed up every week.
Yeah.
And that could swing the election.
He could probably write it off on a tax return that he doesn't remember.
Totally. Well, or he could use his campaign funds.
Yeah.
Those go to commercials. He could just say, yeah, we're going to use $50 million of this to save football.
I like that.
You imagine if you're Obama, Romney doesn't have a lot of moves left at this point. You're terrified of that move.
Yeah, I would do that for sure. That's pretty good. And buy everyone a new iPhone 5.
And then on the flip side, Obama's missing a golden opportunity to flex his presidential muscles here.
With what?
Just be like, you know, I don't know when his next press conference is or whatever, but do the thing where, I'm disgusted by these games.
No,
I can't believe what's happening. Yeah. I need to get on the phone with Roger Goodell and try to figure this out. This is an embarrassment. This is America's pastime now.
Yeah.
Baseball is not America's pastime anymore.
Purposely insert his own Secret Service crew to officiate these games. And if they're not, you know, off staring at the cheerleaders, it could actually work out.
I guess like everybody's it's actually driven interest in the game.
Yeah.
So in a weird way, it's kind of evil genius. But
I have many challenges. Like they gave Harbaugh so many challenges.
Harbaugh had two extra challenges.
Are we gonna have to do this on the honor system from now on? Like Jim, I can't keep track. How many challenges did you use? Are you being? Are you sure? Okay, take one more.
He called two challenge. He challenged two plays. He had no timeouts.
Yeah,
it was amazing. And you know, it took the focus off. First of all, best you were trapped in the bowels of the Nokia Theater. But man, for an hour there, it was just nonstop amazing football.
Well, I watched. Let me just tell you what I did. I watched. I could have gotten a lot of trouble for this, but everyone else. But I had my iPad. On the floor during rehearsal at the Nokia Theater, and I was watching the Cowboys. They're miserable. My Cowboys miserable.
Oh, God.
Win yesterday. But, those three overtime games, highlight-wise, looked really exciting.
And the Titans,
Lions.
Titans-Lions, first game of the year that you just – we actually had it on one of the TVs, and then, all right, get rid of that game. And then it was 41-27, and then they're running the scores, and it's like 41-41, end of regulation. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Just at it, just had no idea they even were in the ballpark or coming back in that game.
And that's how Titus Young is going to catch a touchdown. It's going to have to be like that for everyone who drafted him six rounds too early.
Right, tip play.
Well, what about with the Hail Mary, speaking of? Maybe yeah. Let's go back to just catching the ball if you're a defender, you know?
Yeah.
Just batting it away or batting it back or batting it forward doesn't seem to work. Just catch the ball. You're taught to catch the ball. It seems like the safest way to go.
Listen, Sal, we have more important things to worry about, like extending the uprights to infinity.
Oh, that's right.
I love, you know, our friend Carell has his own podcast, obviously, which is very popular.
Yeah.
He might do three straight podcasts.
I was just going to say, 3 of the 5 hours this week are going to be devoted
to it. It's become his mission. Everyone else cares about the refs. Carell is just 100% focused on the goalposts.
Often corner and goalposts.
I guess the biggest thing we learned in week 3, other than I think the Vikings might be, you know, pretty good. They might be a borderline playoff team. They legitimately beat the Niners, but the Cards took care of business. Not a fluke anymore. The Seahawks have to feel good about that week 1 loss because the Cards have proven right. themselves to be good. The Pats doesn't seem like as much of an embarrassment to lose at home.
I was just going to say, you get on your Patriots, but their last two losses maybe against the, you know, the
Super Bowl teams.
Arizona yeah. and Baltimore. It could work out that way.
The Cards are good.
Yeah,
I have now watched all 3 Cards games, and the Cards are good. Barnwell wrote today about he thinks it's a little fluky. I just disagree. They're getting some breaks.
Every year a defense plays, I think, with attitude, and that sometimes that's enough to get it done most weeks. Really,
and they have like 6 blue chippers on their defense.
They have like 3 or 4 Pro Bowlers, and they
yeah.
come to play every week. So.
And at home they're tough.
Mm-hmm.
They got a nice crowd. I had the classic fantasy. These Thursday night games are a disaster. I put in for the Cardinals defense, and on Thursday,
right? Yeah.
I didn't get. I checked, and I hadn't gotten them, and I didn't realize our waiver wire ran after the Thursday games.
Yeah.
So I had the Cardinals defense, which I specifically put in for, so I could start them against Michael Vick. Had them on my team, didn't even realize it. Started the Ravens at home against the Patriots because I didn't have another defense. The Cards put up 20. The Ravens put up 2, and now I'm going to lose to Hench, which is...
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Not to complain. Nobody wants their fantasy stories, but I just these Thursday... So we're going to have Thursday games, but the waiver wire runs on Thursday night?
No, it runs Wednesday night, and then every night after. You had it Wednesday night. Check it. You
I did? Maybe I screwed up.
You got the
Maybe.
Cardinals for $0, right? You didn't even really bid on
them. Yeah, it might have been just bad management.
Yeah,
on
you got
part.
Them Wednesday.
So here's the other big story, other than... the Vikings. I guess there's really no giant. I have Revis going out. That probably kills the Jets.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, that kills them. And then, you know, the Steelers might not be good, which I predicted before the year, but it was a bad loss to Oakland. They're up 10 multiple times in that game.
And Palomalu, I would say, slightly overrated, but that's a big miss with him and Harrison gone, I would say.
Yeah, I guess. But. You know, I just think the concept of which divisions are good has kind of shifted.
Yeah.
I think the NFC North and the NFC West are now the class of the league. Right? Those
really?
Are the 2 best divisions. Yeah.
NFC North, yeah.
Detroit's the 4th best team in the NFC North.
Yeah, and they sure
That's
are.
A pretty good division.
Well, I don't know. That hooked on Chicago because they beat up on 2 bad teams at home, didn't they?
Well, I'm going to defer to Grantland's own Robert Mays, who right. wore a Dan Hampton jersey watching football yesterday.
He's
so I would say he's
that?
A Bears fan.
Yeah.
He points out that the Bears defense in 3 straight games has been dominant. And even if you look at that Packers game, and we argued about it. I was like, no, the Packers were good. He's like, no, go look at their drives. The Packers had 1 drive in that Bears game.
Yeah,
the Bears kind of dominated them in that game.
The field goal was the difference. And that was
yeah, they had the fake field goal, and then Cutler gave them a couple plays inside their own 50. But they made the Rams miserable yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, so they might be good.
I think it's too early to call what divisions are great and what aren't. But I'll say this. There are some bad teams that seem to be exciting from week to week. You know, like the Vikings seem to be exciting. If you want a bad to mediocre, you know, Jacksonville, I think, is good. The Colts are fun to watch. The Rams are, for the most part, not this week maybe. They're sort of fun to watch. You know, I think like Cleveland's the only team that I just would dismiss out of hand. I don't think I'd turn them on if I could avoid it at all. You know.
Well, and also it looks like the quarterbacks from last year. The last year's draft.
Yeah.
You know, Ponder was really good in that Niners game.
He was injected with something before that game. I don't know what it was.
He was like pulling plays out of his butt left and right.
Yeah.
Gabbert has now two times in the last minute of a game pulled a drive out of his butt to get a go-ahead score. One time Minnesota ended up coming back and winning, but yesterday it worked for them. I mean, he's definitely better. Who's the other one the other one from that draft?
Tennessee, Jake Locker.
Yeah, Locker. Locker's putting up stats.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know.
And not to mention, the only rookie that's sort of embarrassing is Whedon, right?
Yeah, and even in.
And he shows some flashes of brilliance. So
yeah,
you're talking like nine quarterbacks that are just sort of coming into their own.
I don't think Tannehill is good. I've seen enough of Tannehill to maybe be a little dubious about him ever turning.
I like that he tries. I saw him going long and late fourth quarter and overtime. I like that he throws deep, and it's not just the same check down route every time. And also, you know, Revis, I know he went out late, but I thought that was going to be a miserable game for him. Revis being in the lineup, cutting down half his field, I thought it was going to be, you know, I was like, oh, the Jets are going to be up 17-3, and that'll be it. But
it does seem like the in general, the quarterback play is a lot better this year.
Yeah.
Just because the last couple drafts, you've had these, you know, we have 8, 9 rookie or second-year starters, and none of them are really that bad.
Yeah.
Except for Whedon. But
you know what? So, I have to tell you, Bill, in today's NFL, it's not about X's and O's. It's about Jims and Joes. You must have the personnel to excel at this level.
Wow. Are we on Monday Night Countdown right now?
I heard some college analyst say that, and I'm like, oh, boy. I'm never going to let that go now.
Here's the other thing. I'm so proud of myself. I had a losing record in my column this week, 7-8.
Nice.
Yet again, I've managed to contradict myself from what I said in a podcast. If you remember last week's podcast, the BS Report, heading into week 3, I talked about how the home teams were 19-11-2, and that there is no way that could probably continue, and we were due for a regression week. Well, we had the regression week, and of course, I did not pick all the road teams. The home teams were 4-10-1 against the spread last week, or yesterday.
The home teams were?
Home teams Thursday and yesterday, so week 4, week 3, every game except for tonight's Seattle-Green Bay game. Home teams were 4-10-1. The favorites were 3-11-1.
Yeah, I have 11-4 for dogs. Yeah, and I had home dogs were 4-2 yesterday.
Home dogs are 4-2.
Yeah.
So road dogs were 0-8.
Right.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Road.
Home.
Oh, whatever. Yeah.
Home favorites were 0-8.
Bet the home favorites were 0-8. Oh, home favorites.
Home
were
favorites
0-8,
right. were 0-8 against the spread.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, a couple of them were stupid. Like the Ravens won, but they didn't cover. The Cowboys.
Yeah.
Were up 9 with a minute left, and the Bucks did the classic kick the field goal to cover, but then they couldn't get the ball back.
Right. Houston, I think, ended up being a favorite in that Denver game, but I know what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, no, I was including Houston.
All right.
I flipped it. Yeah, Houston, and that was, and somehow that almost became, you know, it was 31-11, and all of a sudden the Broncos score twice, and they're trying to get the ball back. It was pretty crazy.
Is that going to be Peyton's thing now, or he's like, he's going to try to do it all in a comeback mode?
Why are
they so far behind?
If you're a Broncos fan, I mean, like Peyton had a play yesterday, threw into triple coverage, bounced off Decker's hands, went up in the air and right to the receiver behind him for the touchdown. Like he's getting some luck.
Yeah.
I would say. The Falcons dropped a couple picks last Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he looks good. And you know, Peter King was saying today, like, give it time, give it time. It's like, all right, well, the ball has just no zip at all. Like what are we giving time? He has no zip on his passes.
Yeah. I think it was lacking too. I told you, he's playing in the thin air, so he could throw, you know, it'll seem like he's throwing faster.
You could say, though, that they've played two of the best 4 teams in the league.
Yeah, defensive-wise, yeah, Houston and Atlanta are tough to
Look good. I mean, I would say if you're saying the inner circle of Super Bowl teams, those two are on there, Niners, Patriots, Ravens. Would you put anyone else in there?
Did Cardinals? You say the, you said the Falcons? You said
yeah.
The, yeah. I like the Falcons a lot.
Maybe Cardinals on the fringe?
Yeah. Well, let's see how Green Bay. If Green Bay wins by two touchdowns today, they'll be all back right. In the mix, right?
All right. Let's guess the week four lines. You won the first 2 weeks. I won week three.
And you're going to win week four, too.
I'm going to win. I'm pretty locked in right now, I got to say. I felt very confident as I was making my guesses.
I was up till 4 in the morning looking at highlights, and I still only got 3 right today.
Yeah, I have a nice feel for the
first bye week. Only 2 teams on a bye, Indy and Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I guess that's good for Pittsburgh. Timely.
Yeah. I like the Thursday game. You don't like the Thursday game now, or just because of fantasy ad drop, you don't like it?
I have 2 problems with the Thursday game. One, the fantasy is just—it's just too much too soon.
It's tough because the injury report comes out Thursday.
Yeah, and it's like I always like the Thursday night waiver wire and having like a couple days to research and stuff like that. And then, you know, we're 0-for-3 with quality of games. And this was the case last year too. Like one of the two teams always sucks in this Thursday night game. Last week it was Carolina. Mm-hmm. This week it's Ravens Browns. Like, what are the odds the Browns are going to be good in this game?
Yeah,
I don't know if they can make the line high enough. I picked Ravens by 13. Might be too high, but I can't imagine it being. Well, it's got to be double digits.
It was too high. I said 15. Who is this Cleveland team to stay within 2 touchdowns of Baltimore? But it's 12. So you'll get it.
I think that goes to 13.
That might. If it doesn't, we may have to come out of retirement with the 3-team teaser.
You know. There were so many terrible plays by the refs yesterday, and it's like you almost can't keep track. You know, it's like a war movie where just people are dying all around you, and you can't even – oh, remember when that guy – oh, I forgot that guy died too.
Yeah.
But the Browns got really screwed. There were 2 teams that lost potential touchdowns yesterday. One was against your team, the Cowboys. There was the fumble that wasn't – that shouldn't have been a fumble. Or they whistled it dead, and it would have something good would have happened.
Oh yeah, no, but they got it right though eventually, right? What do you mean?
I thought that was one of the 2.
Dallas fumbled.
I thought Romo fumbled, and
he fumbled twice. They made him fumble. They called it a fumble both times eventually.
The Browns though, Fitzpatrick lost the pass as he was throwing it, and it went right to a Brown guy who started running toward the end zone.
Yeah,
and then they whistled it dead.
What do you mean a Brown guy? A player on the Browns?
Player in the Browns.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Be careful.
And they whistled it dead, and then, of course, they review it, and it was a fumble, and the Browns had the ball in, like, the 25 instead of scoring a touchdown. And,
yeah.
You know, Brandon Weeden took it from there and turned it over. But
I think you give these refs 45, 50 minutes, they could figure it all out.
Hey, how do they not fix this? Like,
now we know why they delayed the late afternoon game starts.
Oh, my God. And it turned out they didn't delay him enough.
I know. Should push it another hour.
The Cards game was like, it was 10 minutes into the Cards game before like 4 of the games were ending.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
All right. You're up 1-0 Sunday. Minnesota at Detroit. I hit this one exactly. One of
the few. I had Lions by 4. I think it's a little high.
Oh, you think that's high? What would you think of 6?
6 is really too high. What's wrong with Stafford? Do we know?
Well, I mean, it's probably just an ankle thing, but I don't know. Sean Hill, aside from taking matters into his own hand on his quarterback sneak, maybe just as effective as Stafford. I don't know what's going on with Stafford.
What'd you think of that call? What did Schwartz say? I never saw Schwartz's explanation.
He said there was miscommunication, that they were supposed to draw him offside and then line up for the field goal.
Miscommunication? They lost the game.
Yeah. Yeah, but
it's a pretty big miscommunication.
Because it's weird, because you see Hill like pumping his leg.
Yeah,
which seems like he's in sync with the draw everyone offside play. But then he must have seen something he liked, and it wasn't there.
That was obviously the first time in the history of the NFL that somebody won on a clock measurement.
Yeah,
like the couple of the linemen almost got trampled by the Titans.
That's
celebrating.
Right.
The Titans, that will go down as one of the garbage wins of the year. I mean, they pulled out every trick out of their butt in that game.
Yeah.
They had the Music City Miracle flashback. They got a kick return. They had a guy rip a ball away from receiver and run down. I mean, I don't think the Titans are good.
Glad Chris Berman was able to pull out the Music City Miracle clip. Easily his most recent reference got stashed away.
No comment.
All right. Seattle at St. Louis.
Ooh. A tough one because we don't know what we're getting from Seattle tonight.
Yeah. Well, you're going to win this. So.
But I'm going to say Seattle by 3.
Yeah, I said St. Louis by 1.
Oh, no.
And it's... No, you're right. I mean, Seattle by 1.5. But you're right.
Seattle should be favored by more than that. But
yeah. I like that they... although maybe are we putting too much stock in this Seattle win over the Cowboys? I know
it's a fair point. I mean, but you got to look at that way they played in Arizona. Now that we know that Arizona's
that's
good,
true. That was the first game. Yeah,
you know Kevin Cobb might be like a top 4 MVP candidate.
No,
why not? He turned their season around when he came in. He game winning drive in week 1.
All right, we're getting
managed the game in New England, and then was great yesterday.
I want Jacoby to isolate that clip and run it back maybe next week and see what happens.
He's higher than Brady in the rankings, I can tell you that much.
Yeah. I guess
it's 3-0.
We'll see.
Matt Ryan's the MVP right now.
He is so good. I mean, they're the only team that like continued on from their preseason show. Really?
You know, that was Barnwell's preseason pick for MVP.
Yeah. Doesn't screw up.
Nice job by him, yeah.
San Fran at Jets.
San Fran at the Jets. The Darrell Revis list Jets. I have the 49ers by 3.
Is it what's worse, the Darrell Revis list Jets or the Alex Smith full Niners? by 3? All right, who gets this? You get it. It's San Fran by 3.5. I said 3.
Oh, I almost said 3.5.
Yeah.
But there was one play in that Jets game yesterday you would have loved because there's no way you saw it. But the Jets were inside like the 5 driving, second down and goal to go from like the 3, and they brought Tebow in.
Tebow gets it and loses yards, right?
Yeah, Tebow, they do the fake handoff rollout, but the Dolphins are just sitting there waiting for it. He somehow ducks the guy, gets whatever, and then gets sacked. So he runs out. And then Sanchez comes in. Immediately throws a pick to the Dolphins.
That was terrible.
Every Jets fan was like, oh, my God. The Jets fans are being just tortured by this season.
So that was the worst timing pattern pass I've ever seen, I think. Sanchez really just took no regard for his own receiver. But and then there was a play earlier that Sanchez threw a pass to Tebow, and it's like, I don't even think Tebow's head was turned around. Like it
hit him in the face, right?
Yeah, or something.
Yeah.
What's the upside in Tebow catching that pass? Like, all right, I can get Sanchez. I can get the starter's QB rating to go down if I just drop this.
I do feel like I ran an email in the picks mailbag 2 weeks ago about how this was the sequel to Fourth and God, the Tebow movie, the fake Disney Tebow movie. And you have to really start the season out terribly before the hero kind of, you know, it's a sports sequel.
It really is
kind of hitting all the beats. Like now Revis is out. Now we're headed toward the Sanchez concussion. Maybe he gives the thumbs up as he's getting carried off the field.
Interesting.
And Tebow comes in. But at this point, like, I would just play him.
You think so?
I think I would.
They're 2-1, right?
It's a really soft 2, though.
Yeah.
Well, really we'll soft.
See. We'll see. This Alex Smith, I mean, this is not a gimme game for the Niners. They have some, I mean, it's the same thing with them we talk about. As soon as Alex Smith goes down double digits, it's a problem. And, you know, you watch quarterbacks, when they're down 10 points most of the game, which the Niners were yesterday to the line, Minnesota, you know, they end up with 50 attempts and over 400 yards. Like, Alex Smith barely went over 200 yards when he was down double digits the whole game.
We talked about this last week. There's some teams this year that are two different teams depending on whether they're trailing or they're winning.
Yeah.
And the Niners are definitely one of those teams. Although I will say, it was 17-13. He brought them down. They scored. It seemed like, watching it just felt like, all right, well, now they're going to win by 3 and they'll have their scare. Mm-hmm. And then freaking Ponder was great yesterday.
That was, I mean, he was like rolling left and spinning around and throwing.
I think it's funny. Like, he really does remind me of Rich Gannon. Which is weird because they had Rich Gannon, but a lot of the way he plays is very Gannon-y.
Yeah.
But, man, they might be good. That might be a decent team.
Could be all right. I mean, I don't know. We'll see the NFC North.
I like when the Vikings are
good. I'll see the NFC North and raise you an AFC West, I think.
Wow, AFC West over NFC North?
Maybe. San Diego at KC, speaking of the AFC West.
Yeah, Norv did the you knew the September rollover was coming.
Okay.
I just refused to give up hope. I have Chargers favored by 3 in KC. I don't think Vegas believes in KC.
You're beating me up here. I said Kansas City by 1. It's San Diego by 1.5. So you get it.
You know, the bottom line is that the Chiefs were down by 18 inside their own 10. Charles busts off a 91-yarder.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the Saints got tight. The game was pretty much over.
Yeah.
Pretty hard to lose up 24-6 at home with 20 minutes left.
Right.
So I don't know if I'm going to believe in the Chiefs yet.
Castle is it's all working out for him. When your running back can, you know, gain more yards on the ground than you can passing, that's just the fit he needs, I think.
It's funny. Whitlock was tweeting yesterday about Castle trying to kill his receivers. Like, it really is true. Like, Dwayne Bowe, he's just got to be scared going into Sunday. Mm-hmm. Castle and Tannehill are the two guys that
you
just have to be terrified if you're a receiver. Yeah, right. They'll just throw it right over the middle. They'll lead you into two safeties.
Yeah. Well, all right, Tennessee at Houston is next.
I went high in this, too. I had Texans by 13.
Yeah, I was smart. I went way low. I'm in a tired stupor. I went 8, and it's 12. You get that one. You're up 4-1.
I think that goes to 13.
I like Tennessee, though. I mean, they scored 90 points yesterday, and Chris Johnson had 2 fantasy points.
You know what? Locker is exciting.
Yeah.
He's a really good athlete. He makes plays that you but when he's running around, he's
these guys will look bad against some teams with, you know, aggressive defenses and, you know, just studs up front, but a lot of these guys like Locker are going to be fun when they can run around and throw.
I think Chris Johnson might be a write-off.
Oh, man.
Remember when Larry Johnson, it took us like a year to realize he wasn't good anymore?
Mm-hmm.
I think Chris Johnson's like that.
Probably.
I just don't think he's good anymore.
Priest Holmes did the same thing.
Yeah. This was weird because of the style that he has. You shouldn't lose it the way he did, but he doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bill, I mean, in today's NFL, it's not about X's and O's. It's about Jims and Joes. You must have the personnel to excel at this level.
That's a great point.
All right. Carolina at Atlanta.
I went high on this one, too. 12.
Oh, wow. All right. I'm going to win one. I said 8.5. 7.5.
Carolina at Atlanta at 7.5?
Yeah, that's a two-team teaser game for you.
Did they not watch Carolina last week?
It's funny, with 3 weeks in, and Atlanta by far has the best defense in the division.
I'm not trying to overreact to Atlanta. I just think that Carolina stinks. I mean, they had no pass rush. They have really no receivers other than Steve Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't get that. They couldn't block.
10-day rest maybe for Carolina. Is that what they're doing?
Well, I guess you could say this is a nice wake-up call game for Cam Newton.
Right.
But I wrote about this on Fridays. 7-12 for his career now.
Yeah. I mean, it was something ridiculous. After the first 6 games, I think, last year, I think he averaged like 180 yards passing or something.
He really does seem to check out body language style when the game's not going his way, which is not a good quality for a QB.
Yep. New England at Buffalo. Must win.
I don't know about that. We're the easiest schedule in the league. We really could win 9 straight right now.
No, I mean must win if they're going to hit on my over 12 and a half wins.
Well, in that case, yes, must win. God, I have 3.5.
All
Pats
right.
by 3.5.
You're right. I said 5.5. I get what they're doing at Buffalo, but where's the money going to come in on Buffalo? It's 3.5 is right. You got it exactly. Who's betting the Bills this week?
Well, let's look at the Bills. They lose a bad game to the Jets where everything goes wrong in the first half.
Uh-huh.
Next week they take care of business. The next week they take care of business.
Who they beat? The Chiefs and then the Browns?
They killed the Chiefs, who then beat the Saints. Uh-huh. And then they went in Cleveland and beat the Browns.
Yeah,
I mean, the Browns suck, but it's still not a bad win. It's a hostile environment.
Might have a little false confidence right now.
My whole thing with that line is if Spiller doesn't play.
Yeah.
And if Tashard Choice is your third stringer, that's pretty good. But that's a sizable drop off. I mean,
that's
Spiller
rough.
And Fred Jackson were their whole offense.
That is rough. Here's what I do. Don't they usually like add 3 points to the home team or something? Don't they base like, all right, the home team, everything else equal, will be favored by 3?
Yes.
A lot of Belichick staring at a third loss in a row. Add 7 to the spread there. Like, I think that's sort of how you have to do it.
I don't know what to believe in with Belichick anymore. I can't believe they lost yesterday. I know we haven't mentioned it in 20 minutes, but this Patriots team, they don't close anymore.
No.
This used to be the best closing team in the league.
Have you heard anything about Hightower? Like, after that first game, it seems like it's Jones and Hightower.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the game last night. But,
that was another terrible one last night where Michael Oher just annihilated Jones on a hold.
Yeah.
Hogtied him and then threw him down as he was about to sack Flacco. No call. Then they show the replay, and Collinsworth and Michaels don't know what to say as usual because they didn't want to kill the refs for 4 straight hours. I got to get Al Michaels on the podcast.
Get him up there.
I feel like he'll be a little more candid in the podcast studio.
You have 2 days before they settle the strike or the lockout before to get Al Michaels.
I don't know. Do you really think they're going to settle this?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. It's embarrassing, isn't it?
I don't feel like they settle it until somebody gets seriously hurt.
I don't. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to lose fans over it, but it's the public outcry, and for no reason to keep this going.
I don't understand why the players aren't more upset about it and why they haven't threatened to sit out a quarter or something.
Yeah.
Like, really, or just not, you know, boycott the next Sunday or do whatever they need to do. Like, ultimately, they're in control of this.
Yeah. I think the Patriots did say that. They sat out the fourth quarter yesterday.
Ah, that's too soon.
All right. Late games, late afternoon, Cincinnati at Jacksonville.
Hold on. What's the best game then? Early.
Oh, man.
49ers-Jets.
Jets.
I'm taking perverse satisfaction every Jets game. I'm not talking any trash because my team's 1-2.
Right.
But I think this Sanchez-Tebow thing is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's really great, and I love it. I love every second of it. And I can't. And when they play Tebow wide receiver, it's really one of the stupidest things that anybody's done.
I mean, did anyone ask Ryan or Tannenbaum or any of these guys, the Jets organization, like, what's your best-case scenario for this Tebow-Sanchez thing? And then just laugh at their face when they tell you what it is? I mean, come on.
What's your best-case scenario for undermining your starting quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah, how is this going to play out? Oh, it's so stupid.
Let me tell you, you don't maybe like the Thursday game, but it's nice to not have 8 Sunday games to jump around. There's 7
True.
Sunday games, and when there are more byes, I think there'll be, well, maybe there won't ever be fewer than 7. But
I would like to see them staggered a little better. Like, even yesterday, there were only 4 late games, and of course, the Chargers game was blacked out.
You get too busy having to look at 7, 8 early games, and if the 2 go to overtime, it just screws up your whole day.
Meanwhile, they black out the Chargers game, but you can watch Red Zone. Anytime either team passes the 30, you can see it.
Yeah.
So you just put the Red Zone channel on. It's like you're subverting the blackout. So that's
like
a great
boxing pay-per-view, and anytime a guy's up against the ropes, like, though, you could flash.
Yeah, they show. It's so stupid. Yeah, you guys can't see this unless something good is happening, and then you can see it.
Right.
But we're going to show you. You're going to have to go to the stadium to see this game.
Right. All right, Cincy at Jacksonville, late afternoon.
I don't know what to make. Jacksonville, I think, is the team that I'm just going to get wrong every week for the rest of the season. The Bengals are interesting because they can move the ball.
They're fun, too. Lots of weapons. That guy Hawkins is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, they have speed. They have decent running backs. Dalton's pretty good. I have them favored by 1.5 in Jacksonville.
All right, I'm going to get you this one. It's 2, and I said 2. So.
Oh.
Finally win one, and it's, 5-3 now. I'll make a comeback.
I'm going to nail the rest of these, though.
Miami at Arizona.
Yeah. Wow, this was – I spent a lot of time looking at this one because the Cards are now in that classic situation of 2 weeks ago they were getting 13,
mm-hmm.
And now they have to be favored by more than a touchdown in this game. I think they're going to be a little cautious. I'm going to say Cards by 7.5.
All right, you do get it. I said 4.5. I went low. I thought it was too early to reward them so much, but it's 6.5. So you're a point off, and you get that one.
Yeah. God, I love that game.
You're looking really hard at an Arizona-Atlanta two-team teaser right now.
The Niners two-team teaser that I may or may not have been involved with yesterday might kind of ruin my incentive to tease more games.
Oh, yeah?
Although I will say the thought of Ryan Tannehill in Arizona against that defense is pretty damn enticing because I watched a lot of both of those teams yesterday.
Right. And Bush is out. Bush being out. I don't know. That
line's too low. I think that line should be in the 8-9 range.
All right. What about Oakland-Denver?
It's a tough one. Oh, you know, I had this in the Vegas zone. 4.5. Denver by 4.5.
I said 5, and it's 6.
That's too much credit. I don't think Denver's very good.
This is another thing, though. Manning looking at 3 losses in a row if he loses this.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And we talk about this every year, and I've never kept track of it. If you're falling behind – now, the Broncos have fallen behind – in 2 of their 3 games by 3 touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
They're down 20-0 in the Falcons game. They're down 31-11 in the Houston game.
Were they down more than a touchdown against Pittsburgh, or was it just 7? I think they were down, right?
They were down. They were trailing at one point. But this was like that one year with the Lions a couple years ago where they kept rallying back from these games. And at some point, you just can't do it anymore. But I think it's a bad sign that they've been trailing by that much. Their running backs suck, too.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? Who has worse running backs than Denver?
Now McGahee's hurt. And
of course he's hurt. He sucked the last 2 months of the season last year, too.
But wait a minute. They haven't. All they have to do is take care of business in the division, right? To be all right?
I don't think they're good.
Yeah. We'll see.
This Raiders team, week one, the long snapper just murders them single-handedly, right? So throw that game out. Then week two, they go from late Monday night, they fly cross country. They're in Miami on a Sunday afternoon in black jerseys in 85-degree heat, so they lose that game. Then yesterday in Pittsburgh, they take care of business. They win the game.
I think maybe this point in the year, we need to pick two teams that we stay away from betting-wise, win or lose. I think the Raiders are one of those teams.
Oh, I think the Jacksonville is one for me then.
Yeah. Well, Jacksonville gets like 120 total yards against Houston. And then
Jacksonville's – I don't know what to make of that team.
Yeah. I mean, they're a Cecil Shorts touchdown away from covering every game. So
I will say this. I don't think the Raiders are bad. I'm not sure the Broncos should be favored by 6 over anybody unless it was the Browns.
Right.
I just don't think they're good enough.
All right. Washington and Tampa Bay.
Washington just can't get stops.
I feel bad for RJ. Oh, can't get stops. I mean, yeah, that and they can't get an offensive line in there.
Well, they can't block and they can't get stops. They might be a top 5 worst team. I have the Bucs favored by 3.
You get that, and I get it exactly, too. Oh, man, I wanted to gain ground on you there. All right, you're up 7-5.
You know, your defense looked good yesterday against the Bucs.
Definitely. They had, before the last drive, I think your ex-flame, Josh Freeman, had like 88 yards passing.
He finished with 110.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, that's the only good thing. Everyone
might have shot their wad on Doug Martin as a fantasy guy.
Yeah, no kidding. The soon-to-be 0-4 New Orleans Saints travel to Green Bay.
Oh. It is worth mentioning that they have not been blown out in a game.
New Orleans, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could argue Denver is worse than New Orleans if you just look at it from Denver. Yeah. Denver has been trailing by 3 touchdowns in 2 of their 3 games. The Saints have blown all 3 of their games. I guess the Redskins was a pretty handy beating. But
listen, I know no one takes my stupid weekly Grantland blog seriously, but 3 weeks in a row I said the only bet to make is until the Saints defense shows anybody anything. Whatever team is playing the Saints, bet the over. Chiefs over 22 points came in yesterday. It's 3-0 now.
I really resent that because I take your gambling bug very seriously,
right?
And you've been all over this Saints defense thing. It's atrocious. They're poorly coached. The Packers will be favored by 8.5.
I get that. I said 7, and it's right now it's 7.5. That's a win for Green Bay, regardless of tonight.
I guess maybe they skewed that a little low because they're playing Monday night.
Yeah, that must be it.
You know, the Saints' offense is not that good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last six series, they didn't score in their last six series in that Kansas City game. It's pretty tough.
They have trouble running the ball, no matter, and it shouldn't be, right? I mean, Pierre Thomas, all these guys are best at catching passes out of the backfield, but when you need short yardage, it doesn't seem to be there.
And their wide receivers don't seem like they're open anymore.
No. Well, Colston's hobbled. I don't know. In a way,
Colston's been hurt for 3 years.
They have the same problem as Green Bay. Like,
yeah.
Too much.
But at least Green Bay has Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
Who is the Saints don't have anybody like him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Giants at Philly.
Oh, you know I'm getting this one exact. Eagles by 3.
That's what I said. It's only 2.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The Giants now getting rid the people are treating them like they're a pseudo home team on the road now.
You know, it's weird because we talked about it, and you love Carolina, and I was like,
I know.
I was really close to falling for it, too. But all the talk was like the home teams are covering and with the low spread, and the referees are cheating in favor, or not cheating, but whatever they're calling are in favor of the home team, and everything's over, and it sucked everyone into that Thursday night Carolina -2 bet. And I think the Giants are another team you don't bet. I mean, you could put them if you need to pick a team in a pool or something, but don't put money on or against them.
Or how about this? In their last 50 road games, they've won 33 of them. 50? It's pretty good. They're 33-17 in their last 50 road games.
50 is a lot. Well, that's back to Y.A. Tittle days, right?
Nah, it's like the last
7 years.
Yeah, 6-7 years,
yeah,
something like that.
All right. I know. I hate them. Listen, what do you want me to say?
My big mistake with that Carolina game was not realizing that Carolina wasn't good. I mean, even their wins last year, they just weren't good wins.
Just teams that are tough in the trenches. It doesn't matter like what kind of injuries they have.
Yeah, we were talking about that this weekend. Yeah. If you lose your quarterback or your center, that's trouble. You lose your left tackle, it's a lot of trouble. You can get over it. But these teams, like, if you lose your run, Ahmad Bradshaw, the drop-off from him to whoever isn't going to be that dramatic, you know? And I'm an idiot. I was like, oh, they're not Bradshaw and Knicks. Meanwhile, they've been drafting receivers for years and years. Like, they always just have these guys they can plug in and get 100 yards.
They're gigantic targets. They're very deep, and they're tough, the Giants.
And Eli's really good. That was one of those games where the first drive, we're like, oh, Eli's locked in. This is over.
I hate it, but nothing phases him. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
And then you have my Dallas Cowboys who play Monday night home against Chicago.
I'm really worried about this game for you. Actually, I think this is going to be a contest of who blocks worse.
Yeah, I mean, we might see our first 25-sack game this week.
And you'll see some fights. I had the Cowboys by 4.
All right. I went too high this. I said 5, and I don't know why I did that. The line is only 3, which gives me zero confidence in the Cowboys.
I would have said 3. I thought they'd get an extra point because of the whole Monday night thing.
Yeah. They're almost better off playing this game on the road. I don't know why, but.
Well, you'll be able to shut down Marshall,
right.
I think. You'll be able to come after Cutler.
I mean, I don't know. We have our cornerback. Carr is playing. Our best safety, Church, is out. We have to move everything around. I don't know what we're going to do here. It's that offensive line. When you have guys just not blocking, and Romo's just getting destroyed.
He's getting killed. He took a hit so hard yesterday that Aikman said.
Oh, come on.
No, seriously. Aikman was doing the game, and Aikman was like, I've taken some hard hits in my day and blah, 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 but that's as hard a hit as any I ever took.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Aikman felt it, or it was going to be a concussion.
Oh, that Aikman got a concussion from the hit? That was possible.
Yeah, I mean, that was a helmet-to-helmet, too, another one that wasn't called. And you just get nervous for your quarterback back there when it's that ugly. All right, so you win the week. You won, like,
2-2.
6 or something.
What was your best Emmy story from last night?
I like at the Emmy after party, about 2 in the morning, Aaron Paul I go to congratulate him, you know, from Breaking Bad, and I say, you brought home the hardware, bitch! And he fist pumped me. That I said that to him, and he said, yeah, bitch! We're calling each other bitch. Great.
That's excellent.
You had fun, right?
Yeah. It's a little little post-Emmys party. There was some it's funny to see all these people that are on TV shows you like, and they're just kind of dressed up and drinking.
And then we're going to drop a couple names here. Kobe showed up, and you were smart enough. I'm like, come on, come over and meet Kobe. Not that I know him, but you were smart enough after writing thousands of horrible things about him not to go with me.
You know why? Here's the real reason. I never want to meet somebody that I root against.
Oh.
And then find out they're like, you know, like, oh, he's a nice guy. It's and then that's the in the back of your head.
Yeah. It's the opposite of wanting to meet, not wanting to meet someone you adore and then find out he's a jerk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's both. It's like, it's the reverse of when you met Emmett Smith and you were devastated.
Right.
That he wasn't what you wanted him to be. And absolutely. With Kobe, it's like, if he's a nice guy, then it's like, I'd rather keep the mystique where I think he's not a nice guy and I get to root against him.
Yeah. I don't
but,
mind.
I don't yeah, mind. Yeah, he...
Oh, what were we going to say?
Yeah, he showed up. I don't think he even went to the Emmys.
No, I don't think so either. And R. Patz was there smoking, doing crazy smoke tricks through his nose. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I got to say, it was pretty clear that both of our wives would have taken R. Patz into the bathroom.
Yeah. What the hell?
It's pretty weird to... It's pretty weird to just know your spouse would commit adultery in 3 minutes.
It is strange. With the,
it's like a weird feeling to have. Yeah. Just be like, oh, yeah, that guy could easily make out with my wife right now. And right in front of me, I couldn't do anything.
It's like, well, let's see. He weighs 109 pounds. I don't think I can get down that low.
And had a baseball hat. I will say, like, you could just see, like, that whole Kristen Stewart thing is just great. Not that he had trouble picking up women, but, man, now he's getting, like, the sympathy, too, you know? It's like he can milk that for 10 years.
Yeah, he needed that. That's what
he needed like more ammo. Like he wasn't gonna get enough women.
He will never love again like that. Never find a woman like that again.
I was hanging out with our friend Daniel.
Yeah.
Who's mad at me because I brought up George Clooney being on for 4 minutes in the first Jimmy Kimmel Live, and he doesn't think that's fair.
Daniel produced the show, and
he thinks it was slander, but Mrs. Coach from Friday Night Lights came over, and they've apparently known each other for 20 years.
Oh, yeah,
something.
She goes to his kids' parties.
Yeah, it was good. It was everything I wanted from Mrs. Coach. But then, I don't watch Breaking Bad, but this seemed like a cool moment. Like, you said that Aaron Paul guy was there?
Yeah.
And Giancarlo.
You're going to watch Breaking Bad.
I'm going to watch it. I'm saving it. It's like
I'm
a bottle of wine.
17 TVs away from you.
I know.
Watch Breaking Bad.
So... Giancarlo Esposito, who everybody loves on that show, apparently, and I guess maybe he should have won. Either one of them should have won.
Mm-hmm.
And even during the Emmys, that guy felt bad. You could tell he was like, you know, this guy was great. So then at the bar, they were kind of hanging out, and they were kind of having a moment, and it was you could just tell that the Aaron Paul was telling him, like, you know, man, thanks for blah, blah, blah. It was just kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't watch the show, but I was into it.
Please watch the show. You can. Here's the thing. You have like 50 episodes to watch. You could watch like one a week, basically, and be caught up by the time they roll back next summer.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, as far as I'm concerned, it's great that I haven't seen the show yet. I have this great show that I haven't watched
yet. Jealous. I know. But
yeah, you're
catch
jealous
up with
me.
The rest of us. Lena Dunham was great, I thought. And Jimmy, I'm biased because he pays me and we're related and all that stuff. But that's a tough job. I think Jimmy handled it well. And, you know.
The hosting.
Yeah, hosted the Emmys, and it gets harder. Like, did you notice, like, that last hour is just a killer with the they run, like, 6 miniseries categories in a row, and it's just...
Yeah.
Who do you know that watched more than one miniseries this year? And then, you know, take that and apply it to the Midwest and everywhere else. Like, I don't think anyone's watching miniseries.
And also, what's the difference between a miniseries and Breaking Bad, which is on for, like, 8 episodes a season?
Yeah. No, it's true.
Hatfield McCoy's was on, like, it was like 4 parts for 8 hours.
I think it's
hours.
So that you can give the Kevin Costners and not have to lump them in with the guys who are going 4 and 5 seasons. But
that was good. I think what during the show, what was his demeanor like, Kimmel?
I mean, he's crazy. I think he did a great job, and he's almost immediately looking on his phone
for feedback,
and most of it I think was good. But you know, you can't win, because if you do the Ricky Gervais thing, you're an a-hole who just takes easy pot shots at people, and you know, if you don't, you're too soft.
Then you played it too safe.
Right. But I think it was a fine. He did it well. He had a nice balance, and
I was glad that he seemed calm, and his hair looked great.
Hair looked really good. That's
50%. Hair looked really good.
And the beginning bit, Lena Dunham was great, and you had her on in the summer, right?
Yeah.
I remember. I took a piece of that podcast. Let me just.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Welcome to the BS Report. Partly cloudy Thursday. Not exactly sure why I ever mentioned the weather, since it's always the same here and depresses the shit out of everyone else. But with us this week, the incandescent star writer, director, actress from the hit series Girls, Lena Dunham. Lena, thank you for coming on the BS Report.
Thank you so much for having me. What an honor.
Yeah, but Lena, yours is my favorite TV show on television. Forget about The Wire, Sopranos, Real World, Real Rules, Challenge 313. They could all suck an egg when compared to Girls.
Thank you.
And when you and your other barely post-pubescent friends get naked and eat German chocolate cake on the beach, I feel like a teenager all over again.
Thank you.
And I just want you to know, if I already didn't have a man crush on Russell Hustle and Bustle Man Muscle Wilson, you would be my gal.
Thank you.
And one more thing. What is the one thing you'd say to me right now if I promised to stop hitting on you like an awkward, pimply-faced 13-year-old?
Thank you.
Oh, okay. In that case, I'll stop now.
Thank you.
That was nice. See, I don't know if people listen to you over the summer.
That was good. Man, if you put Russell Wilson and Lena Dunham in the same room, I'd be in a lot of trouble.
You'd have to make a big decision.
If they had a kid, I would kidnap it.
Nice. Russell. You went nude for us in the bit. You really committed.
Lena Dunham did. I know. I don't think it takes a lot to get her to go nude.
No, it might not.
She was the only person I wanted to see last night.
Yeah.
And we would have reenacted the exact
that would have been it,
clip, right? That you just played. Yeah. Would have been me repeatedly thanking her. The cousin, promo some stuff.
All right. Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight. Juliana Margulis, right? Margulis? Yeah.
Margulis.
It's something like that. She lost.
Margulis.
It doesn't really matter. Tyler Ferguson and the Killers are on. And later in the week, Kerry Washington, Keanu Reeves. You should come out for that.
What? What day is that?
I think it's tomorrow, Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
I'll check, yeah. Selena Gomez, Tony Bennett, and Green Day. Although Billy Joel Armstrong, I guess, is going into rehab. So I don't know if they'll postpone it a day.
You might need to have a backup band for that one.
Yeah. Grantland on Friday. I told you, Casey over 22 points. Longest touchdown in the Bears-Rams game, over 42 points. Three winning weeks in a row. Throw some Your Majesties on James Jones, 12-1. Jordy Nelson, 7-1, first touchdown. That's it.
The cousin. We will talk to you in a week. Thank you.
Good time, Billy.
Hey, before we go, I wanted to call my dad and get his take on the debacle in Baltimore. But before we do, let's turn it over to our friends from Subway for a couple seconds.
Happy birthday, Barry, to you. It's the Subway Surprise Birthday Party. And to celebrate, Subway is baking up a fresh new cookie with real cranberries, blueberries, and sweet white chips. It's the new Birthday Berry Cookie. Try it today and all September long. Subway, eat fresh.
All right, we're calling my dad. He's very, very upset about the Pats game. Very upset. Very, very upset. Let's give him a ring.
Hi, Bill.
Dad.
Can I call you right back?
No, you're on the podcast. You can't call me back.
Can I be in the podcast in 5 minutes?
It's not as much fun. All right, we'll call you back.
Okay, bye.
All right, it's now 5 minutes later. Just spent the last 5 minutes pacing in anticipation because my dad, who's retired and somehow didn't have time to talk to me on the podcast, now can fit us into his schedule. So let's call him.
Hello.
Dad, you have time for us now?
Yeah, I had somebody here.
Was it the person you were hiring to kill Devin McCourty?
You know, I've never seen a defensive back play a worse game than he played last night.
I feel bad. I hate singling out players and complaining about them. But,
it wasn't just the fact that he couldn't cover anybody. He dropped two interceptions that you could have caught.
And then who was the guy who tripped over the 18-yard line?
Arrington tripped on his behind as the ball came uncontested right toward his hands. I mean, talk about a game where everything that was going to go wrong seemed to go wrong the fourth quarter. Wow.
Yeah. Hench said Arrington tripped over the 18-yard line, which I thought was funny. But I mean, it was 3rd and 16, and whatever that weird penalty they called on McCourty, and then they replayed it, and Collinsworth and Michaels couldn't even figure out what the penalty was.
How many penalties
killed us? The game was over.
I know. Well, there was one before that when we sacked the quarterback, Flacco, and they called that mysterious penalty on Spikes, which was within the 5-yard line rule.
Right.
But it was almost like these refs in the fourth quarter had to start calling stuff. It had been they had lost complete control of that game.
But what was funny was they were calling that ticky-tack stuff, and then they showed that replay of Ray Lewis mauling Gronkowski and them falling on top of each other.
Right.
It was like 10 yards downfield, no call.
The one interesting thing was the announcers almost echoed what every New England fan was thinking on all these plays, that there was phantom calls or no calls against Baltimore.
Yeah.
But, you know, the bottom line is both McCourty and Arrington were horrific. Just terrible.
And the play calling was bad last 10 minutes. I mean, the refs blew the game, but the play calling was just as bad.
The play calling was I thought the first three quarters the play calling was pretty creative.
Yeah.
You get to the fourth quarter, and it's like McDaniels went in a shell. I mean, there was one series where we ran two plays in a row, first down, second down.
What about there was that one play, and we had all this momentum, and then they ran that, like, double reverse with Edelman. He got tackled, like, 10 yards for the 10-yard loss. That was brutal. Too cute.
That play didn't bother me so much. That was a rookie defensive end.
Yeah.
I think he lucked out. I don't think he had a clue what was going on. Probably wasn't even going where he was supposed to be going, and he really lucked out.
How about this? What about the strategy of throwing to the guy with the best tight end year in the history of tight ends last year, who they threw to twice yesterday?
Well, I think for me that was the most puzzling part of the whole game. I understand that they kept him on the line for more blocking help, but
right.
Bring the other tight end for more blocking help and let Gronkowski go out. I mean, to only target him twice and he was so good against Baltimore last year.
I know.
In the playoffs.
How scared were you of Bernard Pollard in that game?
Well, there was one play when he got the 15-yard penalty where it almost was like he was headhunting. I was kind of pissed that Branch gave him the old handout, that's okay.
Yeah,
you know?
Don't shake Bernard Pollard's hand.
Don't shake his hand. He's a headhunter. He was headhunting on your head. You going to shake the guy's hand?
I know.
I mean, God.
It was weird. We used to win these games, and they just lost two in a row where it was just these garbage losses, you know?
Didn't you think Flacco, once again, Brady got outplayed in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you hate to think it, but this kind of consistently happens, doesn't it?
I was saying to one of my friends today, this is, if you count the, if Lee Evans holds on to that ball in the AFC Championship game, then you could argue there's four straight close games that the Pats should have won where they didn't win. The only time they won was when Lee Evans didn't hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
But it was like over and over again, like have the lead, blow it, or have a chance to close the game, not be able to do it. And
well, we had the chance.
I don't get it.
We needed – it's kind of a reoccurring theme in New England. We needed one more first down. Once again, we couldn't get one more first down.
You would have thought we had the ball with under four left. You basically need one first down to ice the game. They actually did get a first down, but then they started like throwing the ball and stopping the clock, which was weird. Whole thing was weird. It was really strange. Really weird play calling. And I thought they let the refs, I guess it's human nature, but the refs definitely got into their heads a little bit down the stretch. Because if it became clear, we weren't going to get a call.
I know, but it was, you know, for all the revamped defensive talk, McCourty and Arrington were horrific, and we didn't have one sack on Flacco.
Well, and what about when there was
one sack that didn't count?
What about, would they have three straight drives at 80 yards or more?
Yeah.
That was brutal.
Well, but, I mean, those drives were sustained with wide open pass receivers.
Yeah.
It wasn't McCourty and Arrington. How about when they showed McCourty and Gregory trying to tackle that tight end?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
In the first half, yeah. The only thing, here's how I potentially take solace, is I think Baltimore is the best AFC team. And people would say Houston, but I really want to see Houston beat Baltimore before I'm willing to say Houston's better. And then, you know, you've Atlanta is up there, and Giants.
Yeah, I understand.
Two of the six best teams in the league, possibly.
We could
that
be
we
6-2 at the halfway point, but
yeah.
The bottom line is that secondary gave me no confidence once again, and the play calling, is much more puzzling than it was a year ago with O'Brien. And both you and I were not fans of O'Brien, but this inconsistent and rather conservative play calling, and not using the best tight end in the game.
Yeah, that's pretty weird. I thought the first three quarters I was okay with, but the last quarter I was not. And then it's weird that they're relying on Edelman so much. Sal and I were talking about this before. It's like he was playing defensive back last year. Like he was barely in the team.
I know.
And now he's become this crucial guy for them. He couldn't have gotten that much better over the offseason.
Yeah,
how about going to Gronkowski?
I had the same thought. And unfortunately, you buy into it. When Edelman got hurt, instead of thinking, oh, that's okay, they're going to go to Gronkowski, I guess they went to Welcome more, but I don't know.
So what are people back home going to be saying this week? They're going to be complaining about the D-backs.
I think the two things I mentioned, three things. They're going to be complaining vehemently about the D-backs. They're going to be complaining about the second half play calling.
Yeah.
And they're going to be complaining about the lack of the use of Gronkowski.
Yes.
You know, and I think it's hard to complain about the refs because they were horrible both ways.
Yeah.
And they were horrible in other games I watched yesterday. But again, it seems like the home teams are getting a more positive impact from these replacement referees in the fourth quarter. And I would love to see somebody do a stat on that.
Yeah.
Because the crowd, that was a great Baltimore crowd. I mean,
yeah, I agree. The bullshit chant was awesome.
And you have to think those refs were impacted by that home crowd.
No question. There was no way we were getting that field goal call, regardless.
No
it way. Probably was a field goal, but even if it had been 3 feet to the right, I still think they get it.
You know, if that field goal was 10 yards longer, I think it would have been more clearly not good.
Yeah.
And we kind of let them march down the field.
Yeah, they played it well, too, because I was wondering what they were doing. I thought we had three timeouts left, and then it turned out we had two. And then I was wondering why Belichick wasn't calling either, but then he clearly just wanted to ice the kicker with one of them.
Right.
But that guy, that was about as shaky as a winning kick as you're going to get.
It really was. Even they had a good camera pan of the Baltimore sidelines.
Yeah.
And those Baltimore players didn't look sure about that field goal.
The real problem is these September Patriot losses feel magnified because the Red Sox died 3 months ago.
I know.
And it's like all you have to look forward to all week if you're a Boston fan are these Patriot games. And to lose two in a row like that, it ruins the whole week.
Did you see Belichick go after the ref at the end of the game?
It was great. He's going to get fined.
Unprecedented. Grabbed his arm.
What do you think he was the most mad at?
Well, you didn't see the post-game press conference because
I heard about it. It was like all one-word answers, right?
Yeah, all one-word answers and he did have something to say about the refs, and I mean, you saw what I saw. One of those answers, and
yeah,
obviously they have a gag order, and they're all going to be fined. He's going to be fined anyway, obviously for grabbing the ref. But
it's too bad because It's just hard to watch that weekend. Everybody should have been talking about how great those games were. I do think that the Ravens and the Patriots are the two best teams in the AFC, though. Like, I feel like I left that game feeling like we're going to see them again. And I don't know what round it is.
Did you watch the Houston game?
Yeah.
I thought Houston looked pretty good.
Houston looks good.
Yeah.
But I still feel like maybe it's the three best teams in the AFC, but I just feel like we're going to see Baltimore again. Do you agree? I tweeted yesterday, so people were surprised, that I think the Ravens are our number one rival right now. Don't you feel that way?
I still think the Jets are our number one rival, just emotionally with the New York-Boston rivalry stuff. Hmm. Certainly in terms of talent of teams, the talent level of Baltimore is a number one rival. But
you're talking about from a fan perspective. I'm talking about, like, if I'm on the Patriots,
yeah, I'm talking
the Ravens are the team that I'm measuring myself by.
Yeah.
Right?
In the AFC. That's the case. And they go to the tapes today and tomorrow, and they look at that defensive secondary.
Yeah.
Now, you know, unfortunately, we didn't get near Flacco. Hence, that defensive secondary, those receivers had a lot of time to get open. You know, so it's a combination thing.
The problem is we couldn't really – I don't know what the numbers were, but we couldn't blitz that much because you can't leave those guys on an island with the receivers. Torrey Smith was a monster.
It was such a great game by him. After watching those receivers get open anyway, even when we had a safety helping out, they were still getting open. Yeah. I would have blitzed. I mean, they were still getting open, and Flacco was on target. Flacco's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, he was shaky in that first quarter, and then he seemed to just get better and better. And it's not a bad strategy to just keep throwing those 30-yard passes to your tall receiver and hope either he catches it or the refs give him a call. It seemed like it worked 50% of the time. It made me wish we had a guy like that.
That Smith guy was terrific.
But it makes you think, like, I would have sent Gronkowski down the middle five times in that game. Or sent him, you know, a little – that pattern where he runs straight and then cuts down the sideline.
Well, it begs the question, why didn't they?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, why didn't they?
I thought those teams were pretty close. I mean, I think if they play 10 times, maybe each team wins five. And then the same thing in New England. If they're playing New England, I don't think it really matters where the game is. I think whatever it's going to be a close game. I think we'll see him again. To me, that's the Jets now that Revis is out. I don't even think you can put the Jets in the
I hope we see him again.
Category.
But now the likelihood is if we see him again, it's going to be back in Baltimore. I mean, that game had some home field significance last night, probably. Mm-hmm. Down the line.
What time did you fall asleep last night?
I couldn't go to sleep after that game, so I watched the post-game conference, and I wanted to hear what Belichick had to say. So, not too early.
It was a tough one. Yeah, it's always tough to lose those late Sunday night games down the East Coast.
Next week, are we in Buffalo or are we home?
Yeah, we're in Buffalo, given 3.5.
So we have three straight away games? It's weird.
Why? No, Arizona was home last week.
Oh, Arizona was home. Okay.
Yeah. It's still not an easy game. I'm not sure if Buffalo is half decent or not because, you know, they took care of business against the Chiefs, but then they went to Cleveland. They took care of – but those are two bad teams, it looks like.
How about yesterday's games? My ZFL thing got killed.
Oh, our picks league, yeah. Well, all the underdogs covered. The underdogs were like 11-4.
Yeah.
So knew that was coming, but not this week. At some point it was going to correct. Yeah, it wasn't great. All right, I'm glad you're in better spirits.
Well.
Did you read what Doc Rivers said today?
No.
He basically said, I think we have the best four-guard rotation in basketball.
Really?
Yeah, it's on ESPN Boston right now. Chris Forsberg wrote it. Basically saying, like, it was probably time for Ray to go. It was the attitude of the column. It was interesting. Or I'm sorry, Jackie McMullen wrote it. This is basically saying Ray wasn't that happy. It was probably the right time for us to part ways, and I love the four guards we have, and they're
better
fit.
The four guards we had. I think what could have been a disaster in terms of not replacing Ray Allen.
Yeah.
I don't know who said that Courtney Lee is a really good defensive player.
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that part, but
and actually, he killed us in that series. Remember in 09? He was really good against us.
Yeah, yeah. And he does shoot a good three from the corner.
I'm genuinely excited for the Celtics season. People seem surprised when I, you know, people ask me, and then I say, like, I think we there's four really good teams, and we're one of the four teams. And,
right. No, I'm looking forward to it. It's the old story of injuries, first of all, and are you healthy in April? But I think it's going to be an enjoyable season. I'm looking forward to every game.
You're looking forward to Darko.
I can't wait
till I get the text from you. Darko is going to have a game, and like the second week of the season, he's going to block seven shots, and you're going to send me this three series text about, I'll tell you, this Darko, if he knows how to block shots, you're going to be all in on Darko.
Well, I was a little more in until I read that email that you got from the guy from Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Said that you're going to see one play that makes you think, wow. And then seven or eight plays that make you think, oh, no.
Yeah, there was a reader in Minnesota for people listening. Okay. The guy said there was he'll make one play that makes you not understand why he wasn't one of the 20 greatest players of all time, and then 12 other plays that make you realize, oh, yeah, that's why he's not.
But, you know, basically they're replacing Seismer with Darko. I can live with that. The guy was off the D League a year ago and gave us a few minutes when we needed it, and now we have about 12 guys over 7 feet on this team.
Well, I was happy because at least we know he's semi competent.
Yeah,
and really strong emphasis on the word semi. But
we only watched five minutes a game.
We don't want to rely on Fab Melo this year.
I think Fab will probably be in the D League while they.
Yeah, we want if Fab manages to bring his uniform to every game, it'll be a big win. I don't know how reliable that dude is, but
no, I like everything they've done. I think if there's one,
well, they overpaid for Jeff Green though.
I don't know. If I see the Jeff Green,
you hated Jeff Green. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking 2 years later. If I see the Jeff Green that is a little more aggressive and assertive and goes to the basket and is cutting the way Avery Bradley cuts and. Then I see a different guy than just the guy standing out there shooting jump shots. So
you sent me more scathing tweets or texts about Jeff Green than any Celtic in the last 5 years.
I'm trying to have a fresh look at Jeff Green.
I'm really excited for this team, and I'm excited for the season. I love the Miami thing. It's going to be awesome. Ray Allen being on Miami is just going to be great. Like, that rivalry was already great, and now it's going to go up a level. And then Dwight Howard...
Right.
Who has such a great history with us, and KG just lays into him every game. That goes to a whole other level.
And the team for whom you're a season ticket holder.
LA Clippers.
About 12 guys that are going to want minutes. By the way,
I know they did make the classic mistake of signing too many guys.
They did. Everybody's by January. I'd say March. They're all going to be ticked off because they're not getting enough minutes.
I thought they had too many guys, and then they signed somebody else, and then they signed Matt Barnes. I forget who the other guy was, but when they did Matt Barnes, I was like, are you crazy? Yeah, I don't. I feel like the Celtics have the right amount of guys.
Yeah, because, I did too. They have one, I told you the other day, one tiny little hole. I'm not sure who plays backup point guard, unless they're just going to throw Terry in there.
Yeah, it seems like they're just going to have Terry and... maybe Courtney Lee. I don't know. For me, the key, other than health, obviously, is whether Bradley comes all the way back, because you and I both loved him.
Yeah.
And Rondo loved playing with him. And they played so well together, and he was such a good defensive player. Like, he really did a job on Dwayne Wade that one game before he got hurt.
I just hope he's not one of those guys that's chronically
picking up
a new injury.
He's got two surgically repaired shoulders, and... You know, that position, you're running through picks.
Right.
And, you know, teams are going to be setting hard picks on him, hoping that they can knock him off his game. I'm so excited from the vantage point of view, because between Darko and Jared Sullinger, I think you're going to be all in early on both guys, and then it's probably going to be pretty funny after that.
Now,
Sullinger have one big game early, you'll get all excited.
I think Sullinger's going to... I have him in my Rookie of the Year competition.
Oh, wow.
We'll see.
Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe you can come to Boston and see a game one time this year.
Oh, I would be coming back. No Bruins,
actually,
though.
You know, the Lakers and Clippers kind of play in the same week.
What do you mean? Oh, in Boston?
Yeah, yeah.
No Bruins, though, it looks like, for at least a couple months.
No, but
I know you're excited about this Bruins team.
I am excited about the Bruins team, actually. I'm excited. I liked everything you did in terms of locking up the core players. But and actually, I don't mind if they start in January. It's such a long season.
Yeah, I can tell you from my vantage point of being a Kings season ticket holder, you can sign me up for no preseason games and then a 58-game schedule. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, it's like last year with the Celtics. It was great not having to pay for and go to preseason. And yeah.
The problem is it really seems like it might be the whole season. Yeah. It's the word in the street is not
good. Yeah, they're pretty far apart.
They lost all their momentum, which is the crazy thing. I mean, I felt like they really had a lot of momentum last season.
But also hard to know who to believe. It seems like they were making more money. They had a TV contract.
Yeah. Well, it's weird, like, that Minnesota signs those two guys for, like, $200 million combined.
Right.
You know, and then the league's saying that they need to have a lockout. I was like, why are your teams throwing around $200 million then
for two players? It's a classic. The owners, in none of these sports, the owners can't police themselves.
Yeah, and so they use the lockout to police themselves.
Yeah.
But I was... It also would have been, the whole Tim Thomas thing would have been an interesting subplot. I guess he's just out, but he counts against the cap somehow.
No, but, I mean, they're hoping to trade him to a team. You know, you have to be at a certain level, money-wise.
Yeah.
And there are teams that could take on his salary just to get to that level.
You were also excited for the defenseman, Dougie.
Yeah, I am.
You were at Dougie was going to play this year. Dougie Hamilton, is that his name?
Yeah.
Hey, you're excited for him.
I am excited for him.
But he might not play because there's going to be a lockout. So maybe you'll be excited for him in a year from now.
I'm also worried that I don't have a lot of years left. And every time there's a lockout, it's kind of like checking off a season. I don't get to
see. Oh. So. See, now we have to forward those sentiments to Gary Bettman. It is true.
It is true.
Well, we had the Celts. And hopefully we have the Pats.
Right, we have two out of four sports.
And the Red Sox we don't have.
My only consolation, well, first of all, you must know, I know these batting averages by heart. Yeah. Adrian Gonzalez is hitting .255. He's had three home runs since the trade.
Yeah.
Euculus is hitting .230.
The Dodger fans are teetering on Gonzalez now. It's pretty funny.
I would imagine so, because there was a small article I read that they had hoped he'd be the next Valenzuela, but he's not that kind of guy. He has no enthusiasm when he plays.
You were out on him before anyone else in Boston.
I think I was.
You were the first guy off the bandwagon.
Yeah, I was. He never got a big hit after fifth inning, and I just thought he had no heart when he plays. He's just so mechanical. He's like a J.D. Drew in my mind. I was out on him right away.
Yeah, you were out on him even when he was being discussed as an MVP. You started sending me texts about when was the last time this guy's had a hit in a moment that mattered.
Right. Mm. Yeah. So,
well,
but I do check the Dodger box scores, and it looks like they may not make the playoffs, and what a bizarre trade that would end up being.
I can't even remember the last Red Sox season where past July, I didn't even care if I watched an inning.
I can't tell you the last Red Sox game I watched. It was a friend of ours who lived down the street who was going to the game yesterday. He said he really didn't want to go, but he couldn't unload the tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bad it is. And he had a great seat, too.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I remember in 97, they stunk. But Mo Vaughn was on the team. You know, he was good that year. Nomar was going for Rookie of the Year. Like, there was at least things to root for.
Right.
There's nothing to root for this season.
Right.
Other than Aceves potentially punching Valentine on the mound. All right, Dad. We're going to let you go.
I'll talk to you.
Talk to you soon.
Before I get the sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.